Tonight is our last shiur in the series about Erev Chatzeros. The sheets are over there. There are more, I assume. So tonight is the last in our series of Erev Chatzeros. Hopefully we'll finish it up. And tonight we're just going to discuss the last portion of these halachas that we have left as they come in the Seder of Shulchan Aruch. So the last things we would like to talk about are the following. Until now, we've been discussing a situation where you have a community only full of Jews, or an apartment building only with Jews. We're living in a ghetto, and there are no non-Jews in our immediate surroundings. However, for most of us that don't live like that, where we have a community that has within it many non-Jews, as well as many non-religious Jews, so that is going to be a whole new conversation. What do we do about the Erev Chatzeros when it comes to including these types of people? Do we have to include them or not? So this really begins with a Gemara in Erev in Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, which going over to Samach Aleph Amud Beis and Samach Beis Amud Aleph. So the Gemara there talks about what is the story, what is the status of a non-Jew with regard to the Erev Chatzeros. So we'll first discuss non-Jews and then we'll discuss Yisrael Mumer. So when it comes to a non-Jew, the Gemara there has a Machlokas HaMaram. Should we assume that Diras Akum Lav Shma Dira, or should we assume Diras Akum is Shma Dira? What does that mean? So the Gemara says, when we're figuring out a community and how many homes there are and how many people live here, so do we count in the non-Jewish homes as regular residents of our community, just like we would count anyone else's home? Or do we assume, no, Diras Akum is really Kediras Behema? Why it should be considered Kediras Behema, it's a whole other story. But the Gemara says, maybe we should say, with regard to this halacha of Erev Chatzeros, maybe we should say, Diras Akum is Lav Kediras Adam, it's not considered like a regular person's home, and we consider it in our eyes like a diras behema. So that's the Gemara's suffix. Now, what is the difference? What should the difference be? So if you assume diras akum is kediras behema dummy, if you assume that a non-Jewish home is just like a diras behema, so then we don't even have to worry about an Erev Chatzeros with a non-Jew. He's living in a little barn. He's living in his own little house, a little hut. So we don't count those into our Erev. We don't worry about that. However, if we're talking about a situation that we consider the non-Jewish homes to be regular homes like everyone else's homes, so then we'll have to figure out how to include them in the Erev. So let's look in Shulchan Aruch and Shin Pei Beis Sif Aleph. So the Shulchan Aruch says, that's number one here, Shulchan Aruch says as follows, Hadar Im Ha'akum Mechatzer. So what's the halacha? How do we paskin? Someone who lives in the same courtyard, someone who lives in the same apartment building or in the same village as a non-Jew. So the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch says, Ad Shiyu Shnei Yisraelim Darim B'Shnei Batim Ve'osrim Ze Al Ze. So the Shulchan Aruch says, the only time, oh, I'm sorry, I skipped a few words that are very important. Hadar ma'akam mechatzer, someone who lives in the same community as a non-Jew, eino osar alav, the non-Jew does not have to be worried about it at all. Meaning we, the Jews, can make our own Erev, and that's all fine. Says the Shulchan Aruch, this is a very major caveat here, ad shiyu shnei Yisraelim darim b'shnei batim v'osim zelzeh. Says the Shulchan Aruch, the only time we can disqualify the non-Jew is only in a situation where I only have one Jewish person living in the neighborhood and everyone else is non-Jews. But once I have two Jewish families who need an Erev Chatzeros for each other, because two Jewish families always need an Erev Chatzeros, so once I have two Jewish families, then I also have to start worrying about the non-Jews. Now we'll see in a second in the Mishnah Berurah why there should be any sort of distinction between a case where there's only one Jewish family or there are already two Jewish families. So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Says the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't help for the non-Jew to be mevatel his rishus and say, oh, my rishus belongs to the Jews. No, that's not good enough. Says the Shulchan Aruch, the Jews have to go ahead and specifically rent, so to speak, they have to halachically rent the non-Jewish home for their halachic purposes, and we'll make it as if it's a Jewish home for Shabbos, and now it's included in the Erev. So that is the halacha. Says the Mishnah Berurah, what's the difference between two Jewish families and one Jewish family? Why should we make any sort of distinction between these two cases? So says the Mishnah Berurah, D'me'ikar adin, the real reason, the real halacha is that diras akum eina chashuva dira. Really, we disqualify non-Jewish homes, we consider them like animal homes, like barns. We don't have to worry about them at all. We don't have to include them in the Erev. Ella, says the Mishnah Berurah, he's quoting the Gemara, the Chachamim gazru d'liyasar alav, the Chachamim said, when I live in a neighborhood with non-Jews, you have to go and make an Erev, and how do you make an Erev? You have to go ahead and tell them that you want to rent their homes from them. Now, that's a very uncomfortable thing for us to go do. You have to go to the non-Jew and tell him, I want to rent your house. He's going to say, well, what kind of business are you renting my house? So you tell him, well, it's just for halachic purposes only. He looks at you, it's a little funny, he doesn't like it. makes everyone feel very uncomfortable. So that's exactly the point. Says the Mishnah Berurah, that's exactly the point. Why? Kidei shelo yadur imo v'yomo mimaisav. Says the Mishnah Berurah. The whole point of including the non-Jew in the Erev Chatzeres is because we don't want you living in a non-Jewish neighborhood. So therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch, and the Mishnah Berurah is explaining it, if you're going to have to go and make this uncomfortable Erev with him every week, you're going to have to go and rent his house out from him, you're going to have to go and tell him that you're really being koneh his house for halachic purposes, a very uncomfortable type of thing to do, so you'll end up moving out. So then says the Mishnah Berurah, v'lo gazru ela b'darvah d'shchiach. Says the Mishnah Berurah, now the reason why there's a difference between one family and two Jewish families, now we're going to explain it. Because the only time they made gzeira, the only time they said that we have a concern, maybe you're going to learn from the Maisei Ha'akum, maybe you're going to take after him and learn from him, that's only b'davar ha'shchiach, the hainu b'makam shadarim kama Yisrael. That's only when you have a bunch of Jewish families, and you also have a bunch of non-Jewish families. But which crazy person is not afraid for himself to live in a neighborhood? He's the only Jew in the neighborhood? That's a davar d'lashchiach. That's a milsa d'lashchiach. It's something that's not usual. It's something that's not going to happen so often. So in that case, says the Shulchan Aruch, if you have a community where everyone is non-Jews and one individual family is Jewish, there's no need for an Erev Chatzeres. What?
The guy moves in after the whole block is Jewish, the guy moves in.
Yeah. Yeah, so we assume the opposite way, we assume you have to be socher from him.
Even though it's just, you're not living in a Goyish neighborhood,
right.
He's living in a Jewish neighborhood.
Right, but still, we have a concern, maybe you'll pick up from him some of the attitudes, some of the ways they act. So that's why no one's saying we should stop him. You should move out. So that's the concern. So we're going to a hotel in a minute. We'll get there in a few minutes. So let's just something interesting here. So the whole reason that the Mishnah Berurah is quoting from the Gemara is Kidei shelo yadur imo v'yilmod b'maisav. We find this in another context. In Hilchos Ribbis, it's a little bit off, but in Hilchos Ribbis, in Yerodeus, in Kuf Nun Tes, let's look what the Shulchan Aruch says. The same exact thing. The Shulchan Aruch says, Dvar Torah, according to the strict letter of the law, mutter l'havos l'ovei kochavim b'ribbis. According to the strict letter of the law, it says that the only Issa Ribbis is to a fellow Jew. But to a non-Jew, there's no Issa Ribbis at all. Says the Shulchan Aruch, v'chachamim asruhu. However, the Chachamim came along and told us that one is not allowed to charge interest to a non-Jew either. Now everyone's going to ask, how do we do any business? What's going on? So we'll see in a minute. So according to the strict Din Torah, we have a chiyah, we have a mitzvah to go charge ribbis to the non-Jews, and an isser to charge ribbis to the Jews. Says the Shulchan Aruch, there's some takana derabanan, isser derabanan, you're not allowed to charge ribbis to a non-Jew. We'll see in a minute why. Then the Shulchan Aruch adds in a little bit, he says, im lo kedei chayav, listen, if I can't live, so then, that's what I'm going to have to do. I have to charge ribbis to the non-Jews. Or, the Talmid Chacham. Now, where do we ever find the difference between Talmid Chachamim and other people? We assume that the Torah is given equally to everybody. So what are you going to say? Talmid Chacham doesn't have to follow the rules. He has a pass. Get out of jail free. He could do whatever he wants. He's allowed to cheat. He's allowed to steal. He's allowed to charge ribbis, even though there's an Isser Torah. There's an Isser Midrabanan. So no. So we do find in certain places that a Talmid Chacham is different. And we'll see in a minute, the Shach says why. One of those such cases is the following. An interesting example. The Gemara says in Moed Katan Daf Yud Zayin that Kisifse Koin Yishmu Das, says the Gemara. We have a pasuk that says Kisifse Koin Yishmu Das. Says the Gemara, we learn from there, Marav Doma Lamalach Hashem Tzavakos Yivakesh Torah Mipihu. A person has to be careful when choosing a Rebbe. He has to choose someone that's Doma Lamalach Hashem Tzavakos. Now the Velt has a kasha. How are you supposed to know? I don't hang out with Malachim, so how am I supposed to know how to choose a Rebbe wisely if I don't really have such communication with Malachim, so I don't know what my Rebbe is supposed to look like. Okay, so that's a whole other story in itself. How do you figure that out? Fine, so the Gemara says you're only supposed to learn from a Rebbe who is like a Malach. Ask the Tosfos in Chagiga Daf Tezvavim and Beis. Tosfos asks, what are you talking about? Don't we know that Rav Meir learned from Acher, and Acher was not religious? So how is Rav Meir allowed to break the rules? So Tosfos answers, no, Tirtzu D'Dafka Talmud Chacham, Yachal Lo Motar Mimenu. The rules are different for Talmid Chacham. Why? So Tosfos says, because the whole concern of learning from a Rebbe who's not perfect is that I'm going to fall in. I'm going to learn things from him that are not proper. I'm going to learn his attitudes. I'm going to pick up his way of life. And it's not actually the right thing to do. However, Rav Meir, who is a big Talmid Chacham, it's not that he can break the rules. It's just that the concern was never said by him. So the same thing over here. That if we look at what is the reason why the Chacham said it's Aser to charge ribbis to a non-Jew. So the Sefer Hasidim, as quoted in the side of Shulchan Aruch there, Nochas Ribbis writes, the reason why a person should not lend money beribbis to a non-Jew is because we have a concern. Maybe in the end, you're going to end up lending money to a Jew as well, beribbis. That's what he writes. We have a concern. Maybe you're going to make a mistake, and you're going to end up charging the same ribbis. If this is the way you always deal business, so you're going to charge ribbis to the non-Jew, you're going to charge ribbis to the Jew. That's what the Sefer Hasidim writes. So, possibly by a Talmud Chacham, that's why we have nothing to worry about, because he's going to know that there's a difference between a Jew and a non-Jew. A regular person may not clearly understand the difference between lending beribbis to a Jew and lending beribbis to a non-Jew, and that's where we have a concern. However, the Rambam says a different reason. The Rambam says the reason why the Chacham said it's usur to charge ribbis to a non-Jew is k'dei shelo yilmad mimaisav harayim. We don't want you doing business with non-Jews. That's what the Rambam says. That's what the Shachar quotes in Hilchos Ribbis. Since we don't want you doing business with non-Jews, so what does it help? You're going to lend them money, shelo beribbis. You're not going to want to go into business with them. You're not making any money from them. So that's why the Rambam says that's going to serve as a deterrent for someone not to do business with a non-Jew. K'dei shelo yilmad mimaisav harayim. We don't want you to learn from his terrible ways of life. So that's what the Rambam says. That is the reason for this Issur D'Rabbanan of lending out beribbis. However, says the Shach, that based on this understanding of the Rambam, since the whole concern is K'dei shelo yilmad mimaisav harayim, so therefore by a Talmud Chacham, that's why the Shulchan Aruch said we have nothing to worry about. Because the Talmud Chacham understands that he shouldn't get too close with a non-Jew. He has nothing to worry about. So if you look a little further, the Rama over there himself writes, Deha idno mutter. Even though there's a din d'rabbanan that you're not allowed to lend out money to a non-Jew beribbis, says the Rama, ha idna mutter. Nowadays, we all do business, and everyone knows that you lend out to the non-Jews beribbis. So why ha idna mutter? Why is it mutter? Zak the Shach. We have this here, number four. The Shach says over here, ha idna mutter l'chalam b'chol minei ribbis. Nowadays, I'm allowed to lend out to a non-Jew, even with ribbis, even if you're not a Talmud Chacham. Why? Mishum shi efshar lanu l'staker b'shum mekuchu memkar. The Rama says, it's impossible. What do you mean? We have a society where we do business. So what are you going to tell me? I'm not allowed to do business with all the non-Jews? It's impossible. I can't make any money this way. Right, so it's an impossible society. We can't have an economy running that way. We have to do business with the non-Jews, otherwise we can't be a part of the economy. So he says, the Shach says, that's why the Rama says nowadays one is allowed to charge ribbis even to a non-Jew, because we live in a society where we have to be incorporated with the non-Jews to a certain extent, and we need to be a part of their world of economics in order for ourselves to survive. So now, what? What do you mean?
You said even to
doing business.
Doing business?
No, charging ribbis even to non-Jews.
Ah, only, right.
Only.
Thank you, yeah. So to a Jew, it's obviously usur, correct. That hasn't changed. To a Jew, it's obviously usur. To a non-Jew, nowadays, we assume that the Issur D'Rabbanan has fallen by the wayside because the Shach explains it's impossible for us to live in a society and not charge ribbis like the non-Jews would have charged us and charge each other. So according to that, it should be pointed out that nowadays, it's impossible for us to live in a society. We don't live in societies where we can live in a ghetto, like you said. It's impossible for us to live in a block and tell a non-Jew he's not allowed to move in. There's no such thing. You can't get such a law passed. So if you carry this halacha from Hilchos Ribbis over to our case, the Rama says, Ha'idna mutter. Nowadays, even though there was an Issur D'Rabbanan to be malva beribbis, Zok the Rama, Ha'idna, it's impossible to live in such a society. So nowadays, that Issur D'Rabbanan doesn't apply. So that's the question over here. Why shouldn't we assume the same? The reason why I have to go ahead and be mishtatif, the non-Jew in the Erev, is K'dei shelo yilmad mimaisav. Nu, the Rama says nowadays, that concern does not apply. By Hilchos Ribbis, it's an exact case study. By Hilchos Ribbis, we find the exact same reason of K'dei shelo yilmad mimaisav. Says the Rama, we throw it out the window. So when it comes to Erev Chatzeres, we should say the same thing. It's impossible for me to live in a block and tell a non-Jew not to move in. So since it's an impossibility, maybe the whole halacha of Schiris Rishus from a non-Jew should really fall by the wayside. It's not clear what the answer to that question is, but it's something to think about. Yeah. So that's what he's saying. Let's say I have a whole block. I have a whole block of Jews. I have a whole community of Jews. We're living in Monroe. Yeah. Right? So it's mamish, a whole community of Jews, and there's one Nachri who goes and buys a house there. No, he's successful buying a house. For whatever reason, he wants to be the Shabbos guy. So he buys a house there. So what are you going to tell me? We all have to move out because this one guy moved in? It's impossible. We don't have such a thing in our society. That's the problem. That's the question here. How do you put this in context with the halacha and hilchos ribos? How do you understand hilchos erev v'chatzeres? It's something to think about. So, anyway, be it as it may, we all still follow the strict letter of the law in Shulchan Aruch that we assume that when you have a non-Jew in the neighborhood, one has to go ahead and do a schiros reshus from him. One has to go ahead and actually rent his property from him for the purposes of it being considered the property of the Jews on Shabbos. And then he's considered a part of the erev chatzeres and we're allowed to carry. So Rashi Maseches Erevin writes that every single week, every Friday afternoon, one has to go ahead and do a schiros reshus from the non-Jew. Can you imagine? Why? Why does Rashi say this? Because if the whole point, in fact, Agos Hashri writes it over there in Erevin as well. Because if you're going to say the whole point of the Erev Chatzeres is to deter us from living in a community of non-Jews, so therefore, go ahead, I'll make you be embarrassed every single week. You're going to have to go knock on the non-Jew's door every single week. You're going to embarrass yourself week after week. He's going to go crazy at you week after week. Finally, after a while, you're going to move out. So that's what Rashi says. It's to make you crazy enough that you'll have to move out. However, the Rush over there does not accept the Chumrah of Rashi, and in Shulchan Aruch it's not even mentioned. In Shulchan Aruch we assume the halacha is you can rent from a non-Jew once. Once you rent from him once, that is considered good enough. Now, how long is good enough? So the Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Pei Beis, Siv Vav, Afilu L'meshach Shanim Rabbos, even if I want to rent from him for many, many years, that's fine. I can go to him, I can rent from him, and say, I would like to be Karna Yerushus, I can give him some money, or I can give him something else, I can make a kinyan with him and say this shall last for the next 25 years. That's good enough. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Says the Mishnah Berurah, that if, this is all assuming that I rented him for a specific amount of time, for 25 years. But let's say I say I'm renting the Rishus for a while. And now let's say the person dies, or the person moves out, and someone else moves in. So then what's the halacha? So the Mishnah Berurah writes clearly that if I just rented bistam, if I say it shall last for however long, but I don't say any specific time frame, so then we assume, and it says in the Mishnah Berurah, that we assume that a person, once someone else moves in, and this person has either died or moved out, so then we assume you have to go ahead and reinstitute the Erev Chatzeres with the non-Jew. Yeah?
Is that if he's only an independent person? What if he's there for the hesed of the Jew? Let's say to be a Shabbos guy, part of his job description is he has to live in there,
so I think there's a difference if he lives in my house, let's say, in the basement.
No, he has his own house.
He has his own house.
Community.
Yeah.
But he's there for that purpose.
So I think we still would assume that you need an Erev Chatzeres. If I just have a maid coming to my house, so that's not a separate balabas. But if you have in your case, you have a person who's really living in that community, and he's the only non-Jew, he's there to be the Shabbos guy still. Yeah. So let's see in a minute. Now, I'll tell you a place where you have to be careful about this, about the person dying. All right. It's what to think about. So what exactly is this chiras rishus? How do we go to the non-Jew and buy up his property? How do we rent it from him? What? Yeah, we'll get back to it. I'll incorporate it. So what exactly? What?
City Council.
Oh, so before we get to that. So what is a Schiris of Shus? Before we talk about who can do it with you, what is a Schiris of Shus? So the Gemara says pretty clearly that the Schiris of Shus can even be a Schiris Re'ua. What does that mean? A Schiris Re'ua means it's not really, you're not really renting his house from him. Look, if you're renting his house, you would have to pay $2,000 a month. Right? That's what he would charge someone to rent his house from him. So how can you tell me this is schiris reshus by giving him a few dollars or a few pennies? That's not called a real schiris. So Gemara says, no, it's good enough if it's just a schiris re'ua. It's not such a strong kinyan, it's not such a strong rental. That's good enough, and that would be considered a bittel of his reshus to us. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Pei Bei Sif Hei, if you look in number 5 in the sources, so it says, Socher me'akam afilu v'pachos mishava pruta. I'm able to rent from a non-Jew. What can I give him? Even pachos mishava pruta. It's such a schiras reuah, it's such a fake kinyan, it's so symbolic, the whole thing is just fake. So I can go to him and give him a pachas mishav apruta, that will be good enough. Says the Mishnah Berurah, why? Because the Gemara says in Erev and Samach Bezam and Aleph, because since I know that by the din of Gezel Akum. Generally, if a Jew steals from another Jew, pachas mishav apruta, halacha is there's no chiyav hashava, there's no mitzvah hashava. However, when it comes to a non-Jew, even if he steals If a non-Jew steals from another person, even Pachas Mishavah Pruta says, he's going to get the death penalty for that. So, why is that? So the Mishnah Berurah says, because to non-Jews, every last bit of money is very important. Even a Pachas Mishavah Pruta to them is worth a lot. To Jews, we say, he stole only a Pachas Mishavah Pruta from me. What's the big deal? It doesn't mean anything. However, for a non-Jew, they take money very seriously, and even a Pachas Mishavah Pruta, if you cheat them, you're going to pay for it, and they take it seriously. So therefore, by them, we run a different set of rules. There's a beautiful ha'ara that's made. I'll say it out. There's a beautiful ha'ara that the Gemara says there in Samach Aleph Amid Aleph. I forgot to put it on. So the Gemara says, listen carefully, Shalach Rab Yitzchak Bar Yaakov Bar Giyuri Mishmei de Rab Yochanan. So who's this person? Rab Yitzchak Bar Rab Yaakov, very good. Bar Giyuri, Rab Yitzchak Bar Yaakov, the son of a ger, Mishmei de Rab Yochanan. So the Gemara says over there, in this Gemara about renting from the non-Jews, so the Gemara says, Havi Yodim Shasochem in Akam Afilu Papachas Mishava Pruta. So he says this halacha over in the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, that you're allowed to rent the space for an Erev Chatzeres. So you're allowed to rent the home of a non-Jew even with a Pachas Mishava Pruta. But Amar Rab Chia Bar Abba, so on that, Rab Chia Bar Abba comments, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, also a student of Rabbi Yochanan. So they were both in yeshiva at the same time. They're both quoting from Rabbi Yochanan. So the first one, the Bar Giura, the son of Gerim, the ancestor of Gerim, says, oh, I heard this halacha, what? The descendant from a Ger says, I heard this halacha from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, you're allowed to rent from a non-Jew, even Pachas Mishavah Pruta. His Chavrusa, the other guy who was in Yeshiva by Rabbi Yochanan, says, Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, Ben Noach Nerag, Afila Pachas Mishavah Pruta. So why do I need my Chavrusa to come and explain to me the reason for the halacha? We are both in yeshiva at the same time. We both have the same shiur from Rabbi Yochanan. So one of the mafarshim points out, why is it that over here, the first Manda Amar brings up the halacha. He says, you're allowed to rent from a non-Jew, even Pachas Mishavah Pruta. The next one says, I heard from Rabbi Yochanan that the reason for that halacha is because, but Noach Nerag Afila Pachas Mishavah Pruta. So one of the mafarshim explains that the reason for this is, Rabbi Yochanan was sensitive to the one whose ancestry was all non-Jews. They were all Ger. He says that you are Bar Giyuri, the Gemara says. Since you are the son of Ger, so Rabbi Yochanan is not going to hold back the halacha from you. He's going to tell you that you're allowed to rent from a non-Jew, even Pachas Mishavah Pruta. Abkan, he didn't say anything more. Rabbi Yochanan told the rest of the Talmidim that the pshat in that halacha is that a Ben Noach cares so much about the money, Afila Pachas Mishavah Pruta, he's makbid and he's going to be nerag on it, takes it very seriously. In fact, the Maram Shif has a beautiful Dvar Agada in the end of Maseches Baba Kama. He has a whole hadron there. So in the middle he writes that when we tell a ger, the Gemara says in Yevamos, when you tell a ger about all the different mitzvahs, about Judaism, when he's coming to be a megayer, so one of the things the Gemara says is you tell him, avon leket shikhu upaya. You tell him that what punishment is waiting for him if he's not going to be careful about leket shikhu upaya, if he's not going to leave the things in his field for the aniyim to take. So why? So says the Maram Shif. Because we know that non-Jews take money very seriously. We know that non-Jews are very careful about their money. So he says, maybe the non-Jew is going to convert. Then he's going to tell him about leket shikhu upaya. He's going to say, what do you mean? I should give away part of my field to the ani? I can't do that. I didn't sign up for this. That's why the Maram Shiv says, we bedavka tell him, one of the first few things that we tell him before he's megayer, before he goes into the mikveh is, avon leket shikhu upaya. You should know what you're signing up for. It's against your nature. It's against your culture. If you want to become part of the Jewish religion, fine. But you should just know that it's something that we take seriously, that there is an Indian of tzedakah, there is an Indian of giving your money away to others that need it. And that's why we specifically tell the ger before he's megayer that this is something that is very central and very important in our religion. So anyway, be it as it may, we find over here an interesting concept. Even though the Jew is renting from the non-Jew, still the Shulchan Aruch says, quoting the Gemara, that I'm allowed to rent for Pachas Mishavah Pruta. Now, Avne Miluim takes this a step further and he says that this is not merely halacha and Hilchas Erev Chatzeres, that Erev Chatzeres is Medrabanan, so we're making. This is a halacha in all kinyanim. What does he mean? He says, any time I'm making some sort of transaction with a non-Jew, I'm allowed to make the kinyan with a Pachas Mishavah Pruta. So I would have said that the Gemara only means it for Erev Chatzeres, because Erev Chatzeres, they're Rabbanan, and we're very makeable Erev Chatzeres. But the Avne Miluim extends this halacha, and he says, not only by Erev Chatzeres, the Avne Miluim says this is by all kinyanim. If I make a kinyan with a non-Jew, I can make that kinyan even a Pachas Mishavah Pruta, even with something that's less than a Shavah Pruta. Now, the Avne Miluim now takes this even a step further, and he says, you can bring a raya from here, that whenever I have a transaction between two people, and we'll see in a minute where this is relevant, whenever I have a transaction between two people, we have a question that we can ask. Do we go Basar Mekabel or Basar Hanosein? Should I say the transaction is only Chal if this is worthwhile to the Nosein? Or only if it's worthwhile to the Mekabel? For example, I do a Kiddushin. So he quotes a Tshuva from the Radvaz. A man is Mekadosh and Isha, and he sees her on the street the next day. He says, by the way, I left some money in your house, or I left some diamond ring in your house, and with that I want you to be Mekudeshes to me. So, only by get do we have a halacha that you have to put it in her hands. By Kiddushin, it's not like that. By Kiddushin, it's good enough, even if you give it to a shliach, even if you put it in her house, that's fine. So says the Radvaz. So I left this diamond ring on the table, and now, a day later, I tell her, by the way, there was a diamond ring on the table, you should go home and look at it, and with that, you're going to be Mekudeshes to me. What happens if at the time that the diamond ring is finally discovered, it's already worth Pachas Mishava Pruta? So, it's hard to imagine how is a diamond ring going to be worth Pachas Mishava Pruta. So take, for example, a guy is Mekadosh and Isha with a Winkies, whatever, with nothing. And now, it turns out the Winkies yesterday were worth 50 cents, and now the Winkies are selling for 5 cents. Whatever. Whatever you're going to say, Pruta is. So what's the halacha then? What do you say? I would have said, well, bottom line, when is the woman getting it? No? That's the Radvaz has the suffix. Do you say, Basar Hanosei Nazlinan? Do we go after the person who gave it? And Lamaisa, at the time that I gave it, it was worth a Shavar Pruta. Or do you say, no, Basar Mekabel Azlinan? It goes based on the person who is actually accepting the, what?
The Chatzar was Kana,
but she has to know about it. She has to agree. She has to agree to it. So that's a question. The Minchas Chinuch HaMitzvah Shin Tzadi Beis writes the same suffix when it comes to Pidyon HaBen. When the person is poda his son from the coin. So at the time that he gives him the money, should we go Basar Poda Azlinan? Should we say that it's based on what's something valuable to the person who's being poda? So let's say I have my great-grandfather's set of nesivas, so to me it's worth $1 million. So if I give that to the coin, well, that's worth everything in the world. I give it to the coin, he's not interested, he'll buy a new set of nesivas, much nicer. So what do you say? Do you say we go Basar Mekabel or Basar Hanosein? So they want to bring rayas from here, the Avnei Meluim, the Minchas Chinuch, want to bring a raya from our sugya by Erev Chatzeres, that not only do you see from here that it's a special kula with regard to Erev Chatzeres, that I can rent the home of a non-Jew from him, even for Pachas Mishava Pruta, because to him it's worth something. He says that we can extend this to all halachas of Kinyanim, that we always go Basar Mekabel, we always look at the person who's accepting it, and that's why the Gemara over here says by Erevin as well, that even if I make a kinyan on Pachas Mishava Pruta, that will be good enough, that will suffice.
So why does a Pruta work by us if it's not important? It's not Choshev either. Pruta by a Jew is not necessarily Choshev.
Nowadays, you mean?
Maybe in those days too.
I mean, it's clear in the days of Chazal that a Pruta was the standard.
It was a standard, but then it was Choshev.
What do you mean? Nowadays, no one carries pennies anymore.
The term Choshev. It's a new concept now.
Okay, but nowadays, no one carries pennies anymore, right? But people still carry quarters. Right? So I would say a quarter nowadays would be considered a pruta. A penny would not be. I don't know, I'm just saying. So that's what Chazal looked at as well. They said, what is the standard of what someone would consider worthwhile? If it's a penny, so in the days of Chazal, that was not worth anything. So if you go and steal a penny from someone, I would assume that that's not considered mitzvah hashava on that, because it's just not worth anything to us. If you steal a quarter from me, so that's already you stole something that I care about. I think that's the way Chazal determined. What?
Hamonam.
Yeah, it goes by the Hamonam. So the question is, it's very hard, it's very difficult to understand how these Acharonim have the Avnei Meluim and how the Minchas Chinuch, how the Radvaz, how do they bring a Raya from the Sugya by Erev Chatzeres? The Rambam writes, when it comes to Erev Chatzeres, that the reason why I'm able to be Socher Min Ha'akam Afilu Al Pachas Mishava Pruta, the reason I can rent from him even for such a small amount of money, is because the whole thing is really Mishim Heker Ba'alma. The Rambam says, it's just a symbolic kinyan that I'm making with him. What's the reason for this kinyan? It's not really because I need to rent this house. The real reason why I'm making the kinyan is because we have a concern that people should not live in the neighborhood of the non-Jew. So, as a symbolic act, we tell him that he has to embarrass himself and go to the non-Jew and rent this house from him. But how do you learn from there to other kinyanim? It's a little bit difficult to understand. How does the Minchas Chinuch extract from that you see by all other things, by even Pidyon HaBen, or even by Kiddushin, these are Chamer de Kinyanim. How do you say that we learn from here that you can always make a Kinyan Al Pachas Mishava Pruta or on something as long as it's worth something to the Mekabel? It's a little bit difficult to make that connection between the two halachas and to extrapolate that from this halacha in in Erev Chatzer. So that's also something to think about. I was talking to my father about this a few days ago, and he agreed. He thought there was a lot of room to distinguish between the case of Erev Chatzeris, which is only Mishum Heker, and a regular Kinyan, which needs to be a bona fide Kinyan. It's not clear that you can carry over all the rules from one to the other. So, we know that we need to make a Kinyan with a non-Jew in order to own a partial ownership in his house, a Schiris Ru'uah. So if you look in number Vav, so the Shulchan Aruch says in Shinpei Bei Sifyat Aleph. Now, do we have everyone going around and renting from the non-Jews? Have you ever gone to your non-Jewish neighbor or to your non-Jewish down-the-block neighbor and rented his home from him? Not that I know of. I've never done it. So if you look in Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shinpei Bei, it says the following. Yachal Liskar Afilu Me Ishto Shel HaNachri. One is allowed to go ahead and rent the Rishus of the non-Jew even from the wife of the non-Jew, meaning sometimes you don't want to deal with the businessman himself. He's a little bit too tough, so you go deal with his wife. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, that's good enough. Or, Mischiro Vilakito. What does that mean? I can go ahead and rent from someone who's the maid in his house, from someone who's working in his house, from the house worker. That's going to be a good enough kinyan. Varehu ki'ilu sachar mi balabayis atzmo. Says the Shulchan Aruch, it's considered as if I rented from the balabayis himself, from the non-Jew, even though I went to his worker or to his wife and I didn't confront him directly. That would still be considered a good enough kinyan. Now, when we think about this in our communities, we still find that very difficult to believe. How many non-Jews live in our blocks? Plenty. Right, I assume? In our community, we have plenty of non-Jews. Do you ever go to every single non-Jew and rent his house from him? Absolutely not. So what's going on here? So the Rishonim already say that there's a way to streamline this. You don't have to go ahead and ask every single non-Jew to rent his house from him. Nowadays that we live in a democracy, so you go ahead and you ask from the Moshe Le'ir. You go ahead and you ask from the person who's in charge of the city. So that's good enough. So what do? So you have Rabbi Reisman, who has the Erev Chatzeris, goes ahead to the police chief or to the mayor, to someone who actually has some sort of power over the community, and he rents from him. He's like the Schiru Lakito, just like I'm allowed to go to the house worker that's working in the non-Jewish home. I'm allowed to go to him and rent the home from him, even though he's not the Balabas. So too nowadays, I'm allowed to go to the chief of police and rent on our behalf. I'm allowed to rent from him as a representative of all the non-Jews in our neighborhood. That's what it says in the Rishonim.
How's that going to keep me out of the neighborhood?
What?
How is that going to move me out of the locum of...
Because that's also very uncomfortable. You go knock on the door of the chief of police and you tell him, oh, I want to rent the whole neighborhood from you, all the streets and all the parks and all the everything. Only for halachic purposes, don't worry.
Jewish.
What?
Jewish.
Let's say the mayor is Jewish. Yes, I don't know who they run from.
Well,
I don't know, it's an interesting thing. Interesting, right, he's doing a preserved representative, but his point is, it's someone I'm comfortable with. The whole point of renting from the non-Jew is to be uncomfortable. Oh, you're saying now you're comfortable already?
Yeah.
What do you do with
it? I don't know. Interesting question. Interesting question. I don't know. But be it as it may, so let's say we go to Mayor Olener or we go to the police chief, whoever we're going to go to, we're going to rent it. The problem is... Okay. So now, there's another issue to be raised. Now that we live in a democracy, so how much power does a mayor actually have? How much power does a chief of police actually have? What is under his jurisdiction?
Air rights.
Or he has jurisdiction over all the public...
Well, why don't you do it the same way you would do an air of... they call an air, the Tsuras Lepesa.
Yeah.
You have to rent the city. You have to get
permission.
That's what we're talking about.
No, this is an air of that service.
Right.
No, you need both.
I know you need both. But so with the time you do the one, you do the other.
Okay.
But
even so, this is the other. This is what you're doing. That's why you rented at the time for the Erev Chatzeris. But the question is, how much jurisdiction does he have? Here's my question. How much jurisdiction does a police chief have? So
over
I would assume... Over all public property. Does he have...
He has rishus to walk into your house.
He doesn't.
Yeah, right. if he gets a warrant to walk in.
Yeah, if he gets a warrant.
He gets a warrant, but he doesn't have, meaning...
But he has a bylaws to do that.
No, he doesn't have a bylaws to do that. What do you mean? If one day a policeman just comes and barges into your house...
He comes with a warrant if you walk in.
That's a different thing. That doesn't mean it's his jurisdiction. It means it's, it has to go... has to be okayed. Has to be okayed. What do you mean? If I go... if I one morning wake up and a policeman is standing in my living room having breakfast...
With a warrant, he can sit in the living room.
No. What? Oh, so one second. So here. Oh, so here we go. So let's just talk about this for a minute. It's very nogea, let's say... It's very nogea here. It's very nogea, let's say, take an apartment building for a minute, okay? So I'm not going to... I live in an apartment building. There's 70 apartments, let's say. So out of the 70 apartments, 40 of them are Jewish, or 30 of them are Jewish. Now I have a bunch of apartments that are non-Jews. So what do? I'm going to go to every non-Jew and knock on the door to rent the house from him, rent his apartment? No. What do? I go to the super. The landlord is not here. I go to the super. So the super is considered just like a housemaid for everybody else. So the super is considered the housemaid for the whole building. So I go to the super. I make this uncomfortable kinyan with him on behalf of our building. I actually did this. So I go and make this kinyan. He doesn't speak English. I don't speak Spanish. And it's more uncomfortable than I expected it to be. So I go and I tell him, yeah, it's this, that, whatever. Okay, so whether he understood or not, I have no idea. So basically, we make this kinyan with him. Now, what rights does the super have in the building? He has the rights to all the hallways. He has the rights to outside in front of the building, the foyer, whatever he has rights to. He doesn't have rights to go walk into my apartment. So even though I'm socha rishus from him, that only gives all the Jews in the building a right to carry from their apartments into the hallways. But let's say, for example, how often does this come up? I go into a non-Jewish home. Let's say, for example, I have a babysitter on Yontif, or on Shabbos. Generally, most people are home, so they don't have a babysitter where they drop off. But let's say Yontif, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. A lot of people go to shul, right? A lot of women go to shul and drop off the baby by a babysitter. So by us, people don't think about this. We only rented space from the landlord to have, or from the super, to have rishus to go into the hallways. But now I want to drop on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, which is during the week, I want to drop my child off by the non-Jewish neighbor that she should watch. No, I'm not allowed to walk into the house with the baby. I'm not allowed to carry into the home. What? Rosh Hashanah Yantif also. You can carry on Yantif?
No, it's all right. What do you mean you can carry?
It's all right. This is the problem with Tzara.
Okay, whatever.
No matter how much we get on with Tzara, I mean, whatever she deserves. For unless you want to get a couple of ice cream, bring it in.
Right, okay, so let's take Shabbos, for example. Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, good point. Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, I want to drop the baby off. Not so push it. You don't have rights, so you have to go ahead. So now what do? Now I'm stuck. Now I realize, right before I'm going into the non-Jewish home, now I realize I don't have an Arab, I can't go in. So what do? So that's one possibility. It's one possibility. Another possibility is it says in Shulchan Aruch I'm even allowed to rent from the non-Jew on Shabbos. How do I do that? I can't give him money. So Shulchan Aruch says what?
Have law.
Whatever
work. How are you going to pay on Shabbos for the Shabbos work? You have some sort of have law with the money is below whatever you know something you don't want. You can't pay for the service work on Shabbos.
Why? I'm just not allowed to be paid. That's Shchar Shabbos for me. I'm not allowed to be paid.
You're making Kenyan on Shabbos.
I need have law. Of course I'd pay the babysitter. What?
Can't make
Kenyan on Shabbos. So what do I do here? So what do I do? What do I do? I'm stuck. I want to drop the baby off by the babysitter.
We don't.
Oh, so since the whole Kenyan by Erev Chatzeres is not a real Kenyan, so Shulchan Aruch says, Socherim Menu, Afilu B'Shabbos. The whole thing's a joke anyway. The whole thing is just a symbolic act that we want the guy, we want there to be a little bit of an uncomfortable situation between the non-Jew and the Jew. So you know what? In this type of case, where all I have is rights to the hallways because I rent from the super, but now this particular Shabbos, I need to go into the home of the non-Jew. So go ahead and rent from the non-Jew on Shabbos. How am I going to do that? What do I give him? I can't handle money on Shabbos. It's muktzah. Shulchan Aruch says, what?
In your building, how many people know this?
Know what?
What you just said.
How many people do it?
How many people do it? How many people go into a non-Jewish home on Shabbos?
How do you know what?
I don't know. What? So how do you do it? So it says in Shulchan Aruch, you go ahead and you give nesinas pas, you give a piece of food, or you give shav dvar mamitaram b'Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch says you can give anything. Give a toy, give anything. Since the whole thing is just a symbolic kinyan, so it's good enough to be mekel, it's a kinyan re'ua. So it's good enough if you just give something which is mutter to carry on Shabbos. Yeah.
Does it make a difference that I live in a rental?
Why? So you're saying it shouldn't make a difference because Schiris lo kanya. That's what you meant to ask, I guess. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Tazayin has a sugya about Schiris.
There's a difference between the rental and the car.
No, you're right. You are right, but you're half right. So let's explain why you're half right and why it should have been 100% right. So the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah Daf Tazayin, a whole sugya over there about allowing a non-Jew to rent from me. Am I allowed to rent out my house to a non-Jew or not? What? To an Ovid Kachavim. A guy who's really Ovid Kachavim. He's an Ovid Avodah Zarah Mamish. So Gemara has a whole sugi there. Is Schiris Kanya or Schiris Lo Kanya? Should I assume when the non-Jew rents at the house, it now belongs to him, it doesn't belong to me anymore. It's taken over as the balabas of the house, for all intents and purposes. And since that's the case, so when he brings in his Avodah Zarah, I have nothing to worry about. It's not my problem. Or do I say Schiris Lo Kanya? Maybe I should say that Schiris is not Kona, and therefore I still have an issue. I'm not allowed to rent a house out to a non-Jew because I'm concerned that he's going to bring in his Avodah Zarah, and now it's as if I brought Avodah Zarah into my own house. So that's the Gemara's suffix there. Gemara comes out, Schiris lo kanya. Gemara comes out that when I rent, I'm not considered a balabais. It doesn't belong to me. Now, why nowadays do we assume frektosis? Why nowadays am I allowed to rent my house to a non-Jew? The Gemara comes out, Schiris lo kanya. So what's going on? If I own real estate and I rent out to non-Jews and they're of the Avodah Zarah, so how am I allowed to do that? Maybe they're not of the Avodah Zarah, but you can find of the Avodah Zarah. Again, in my neighborhood, we have everything. Yeah, we have everything. So if you have real of the Avodah Zarah, so how is that mutter? So that's a big discussion. So one of the answers, and this is the accepted opinion in Shulchan Aruch, which is one of the terutzim of the Rishonim, this is the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins, is that nowadays, Schiris is Kanya.
We don't have access.
Nowadays, we assume that Schiris is Kona, because according to American law, a landlord doesn't have a right to just knock on the door one day and have breakfast in the living room. Once I give it over and I sign a lease, I'm making you the balabos. You now own it. So that's why we assume that I'm allowed to give over the apartment to a non-Jew bizmanazeh, because even if he brings Avodah Zarah into the house, it's as if he's bringing it into his own house and not like he's bringing it into my house. Now, once you know that fact, we have to figure out whether this carries weight in other areas in halacha. For example, one major chiddush halacha l'maisa, which we discussed this summer, is in Hilchos Mezuzah. The halacha is that generally, one, you didn't like this, I know. Maybe it will sit on you more now. But it's a very simple cheshbon. Very simple cheshbon. Was that clear till now? That nowadays, schiris is kanya. Okay, so now let's go for a minute to Hilchos Mezuzah. Hilchos Mezuzah, the halacha is, says clearly in Shulchan Aruch, if I have a house for less than 30 days, I don't have to, if I only rent for less than 30 days, I don't have to put up a mezuzah. Why? Because it doesn't belong to me. Okay, so I go ahead and I sign a lease that I'm taking a house in Florida for a week, I don't have to put up a mezuzah. Why? Because it doesn't belong to me. But if you hold halacha l'maisa in Shulchan Aruch, that schiris is kanya bizman hazeh, because we live in a society where when I sign a lease, it means it belongs to me, and the balabas has no right to come and barge into my house while I'm on vacation. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, nusa carried over to Hilchos Mezuzah. What should the halacha be?
You should have a mezuzah right away.
I should have to put a mezuzah right away. I don't have a grace period. Zakar Shach, in Abi Ezri, he writes this. What?
But there is a grace period.
Rav Shach says, nowadays there's no more grace period.
But even if I move into my own house, I have 30 days, no?
Oh, so if you move into your own house, no. If you move into your own house, you don't.
You also can't knock holes.
What? Can't knock holes, so tape it up. Tape up a mezuzah. That's the big horror that Rav Shach makes. He's 100% right. It's a question how to get out of it. He's 100% right. If you put everything together, he's 100% right. Everyone stands on their head to explain why we don't have to worry about it. It's not simple. You said last time you asked Rabbi Forst, right? My father says it's halacha l'maisa. Rabbi Forst said we don't do it. But the question is why? Everyone agrees to the Ha'ara. When you put the sugyas together, the Ha'ara is very correct. The question is, why is it wrong? It's not clear that it's wrong. So it's something to think about. So your question was a very good one. What?
What do you do?
What do we do? Put up a mezuzah.
He puts a mezuzah wherever he goes?
I mean, it depends. Where do you go? If you go to a hotel for Shabbos, that's not, you're not renting. You're not. They can throw you out. They can throw you out. It's not the same type of thing. When I'm renting a house, let's say I rent a condo in Florida. Yes, you're many poskim hold you'd be mechuyev to put a mezuzah because Nowadays, we assume that Schiris is Kanya.
Well, you know, most leases have a provision that says that the landlord can get in for purposes of repairs or purposes of other things.
That's so, not the same.
Well, so the same thing with a hotel room. We can't just walk into your hotel room.
Oh, yeah.
No. A hotel is not the same as renting a house. Right? You don't send, you don't sign a lease with the hotel that you want this room that overlooks the other tree that, you don't sign that, that looks over the pool. You don't say that. You say, whatever room I want. Or you can say, or sometimes you do, but you say, anything on this floor, anything on this wing, or whatever. You're not signing up for a specific room. So if that is the case, it's a serious question. What? Why?
You just do it in the front door. No. You do it every single shower in the house.
Sure you do. What do you mean? In your house, do you put up mezuzahs on every door? What's the difference?
What?
No, the Ramah says in Hilchas Mezuzah, he starts off Hilchas Mezuzah by saying he's very upset about the communities that believe that it's only a mitzvah to put up a mezuzah on the front door. He says you have to realize that putting up a mezuzah on every door is just as mechuyev, you're just as mechuyev on every door as you are on the front door. He says there's no difference. He writes that, yeah.
They go to check the mezuzahs. When they give you, Sofer comes, they go check in mezuzahs.
Yeah.
And he takes all four mezuzahs on the door, he leaves you one mezuzah. Put up on the front of the house. You should be leaving you 25
mezuzahs. Yeah, carriage
of mezuzahs. What are you doing?
I'm just
curious
what's happening here.
Yeah.
You look at an apartment house, there are 40 guys and 30 Jews.
Yeah.
Right? So you went ahead and you rented from the super, the rights to the hallway.
Right.
Okay. Why can't you make a neighborhood chatzeres between you and the Jewish neighbor next door to you?
You need that. Of course you need that. Yeah. But that only helps for me to carry from my house into his house if there's no hallway. But the hallway is now owned collectively by us and the non-Jews.
So what are we doing now?
So we have to do two things. In our building, we have two things. Number one, we have a box of matzahs which puts together all of the Jewish residents. Number two, it's in our apartment.
So
everybody can come to your apartment.
Yeah.
So you could carry from one apartment to the other apartment.
Only if there's no hallway in between.
There's always going to be a hallway.
If let's say there's just a window going from one house to the other house.
At this point, there is a hallway in your apartment.
Right.
So you do carry, you don't carry. What's the end result?
We carry because we do two things. Number one.
Things allows you to carry from one apartment into the other apartment.
Right. But not from a Jewish apartment into a non-Jewish apartment. Right. Then you would need three things, yeah.
When you rent from the super,
yeah.
So you're renting to go into the other guy's apartment.
No. Always.
So you have to actually go to one of the non-Jewish people and rent it. And
if I plan to go into his apartment on Shabbos.
Just his.
It will only if I'm renting from him. Right. If I'm renting from him, it will only help to go into his apartment. The super is helping me to be mater the whole hallways. The other Jewish apartments I need to make,
the
Erev Chatzeres. We need everything. It's not so simple.
And in a hotel, so you need to...
So in a hotel...
You need both. You need to go to the desk clerk and rent the hallway, which he'll tell you it comes with your room.
Right.
But you have to rent... And then you also have to rent... If you're coming with two people,
so we spoke last week about hotels. There are a couple of kulas why one might not need in a hotel. One kula would be, for example, if everybody's eating together, if everyone's being provided with the food from the same place, but that's only, the Mishnah Berurah makes a provision here, that's only if we're, let's say, all coming for a Pesach program, meaning we're all here for the same reason, but let's say everyone just happens to be in a hotel for Shabbos.
Right, that's, and say you brought your own food, in other words, I go to a hotel in the city, I'm not eating anywhere.
Right.
I've met with another couple, maybe we're going to eat together, maybe we're not.
Yeah, so that doesn't count. That doesn't count. So you would need an Erev Chatzeres there. But there are some other snifim l'hakil. Some Achronim say, like we spoke last week, some say that since they can move you from one room to another, that's good enough because you're not really considered a Baal Bayis on your room. Others say, my father thought this way, like the Chidah writes in the Tshuva and the Chaim Sha'ol, that no, since they can only move you from one room to another room within the same Rishus, so either way you're going to Aser. So that doesn't help, that's not a good Heter. Whatever, there are a couple of things, ways to be Makel, but it's not so clear. Generally, we try to make an Erev Chatzeres in a hotel, and since we live in a democracy, it's not good enough that I rent it from the police chief, because the police chief has no right to come walk up and down the halls of my hotel. He doesn't have a right to that. So you would have to go ahead and rent the same way I rent in our building from the super, so too, you would have to go ahead and rent from the manager or from the woman at the desk.
Desk clerk's not going to be good
yeah,
enough.
That's fine. What?
Why is the desk clerk good enough?
Why? Because the same way it says in Shulchan Aruch that a schir lakito, a housemaid, is good enough to rent from the non-Jew. That's what it says. So you could do one of the maids as well. That would also be good.
Yeah. What are we renting from the chain?
The rights to the room, sir.
What are we renting here from the chain? The rights to the hall or the rights to the next room?
The rights to the hallways. Again, it's the same as the super.
I'm making an area of concerns between myself and the next room.
If you have
a right.
Another,
right.
So if they have a right...
One second. The third sniff lahaka that we mentioned last week by a hotel was the fact that a hotel has to provide you with beds and a fridge and whatever. So there is a concept that, right, we said this last week, we discussed it, that since they leave some of their property in my room, so it's as if there's a tfisas yad, it's as if they still have retained their ownership on my room. However, we pointed out, it's not so simple. Many Achronim disagree with Ramosha's Chiddush. That was Ramosha's Chiddush saying that nowadays, since every tenant in an apartment building is entitled to a fridge and an oven and a whatever from the landlord, so therefore it's always considered like a tfisas yad and you never need a Erev in an apartment building. But many Achronim disagree with Ramosha, and many say that, no, what do you mean? If I came into my hotel room one night and the maid was sleeping on the other bed, I would have tainas on them. I would say, I want another room. If I came into my hotel room and the manager of the hotel is walking in and out, taking stuff out of the fridge, I would kill him, right? I would be very annoyed. So if that's the case, so you can't really consider it a tfisas yad. Meaning, the reason I'm paying so much money for this hotel room is because it has two beds, and it has a fridge and whatever else they're providing. So it's not so simple. So generally, we assume you should make a Erev Chatzeres in a hotel, unless, obviously, if everyone's coming for a Pesach program or something like that, there's no shaila at all. But if we're not in that type of scenario, if we're in your type of case, where just a few families are going to a hotel for Shabbos, so then we assume that you should make an Erev Chatzeres, but out of respect to Rav Moshe, we should not recite a bracha on the Erev Chatzeres. It's a Chashash bracha levatom.
You're the only one. You're business whatever.
Yeah.
Shabbos, you're in this hotel.
So that goes back to the original halacha. When you only have one Jew amongst a bunch of goyim, so then there's no concern. There's no iser.
What about co-op?
Yeah,
co-op.
Why do you say the many?
Sometimes you have buildings that are co-ops, that are part co-ops.
Yeah.
Part of them rentals.
Right.
So what do you have to do the carport?
It depends if the super provides services. For the same reason? Yeah. So we take over the whole place. We take over the whole place. Skyim's still living in the hotel, what do you mean? Meaning we don't, in a situation where we don't take over the whole hotel?
You take over the hotel, there's still Skyim living.
Oh, so the reason why the Shulchan Aruch explains this problem, it's a good question. You understand this question? Let's say you have the Fountain Blue in Florida, right? So they go for Pesach, they don't take the whole place. It's huge. So how can you say you don't need an Erev Chatzeres in that case? Assuming you don't need an hotel. Why? So the reason we explain is because since everyone's getting the food from the same source, so that would be considered a hishtatfus of everyone together. That's considered like everyone's one balabais. New. So now that I have everyone eating from one place, so now you have 500 people in this hotel or 1,000 people, they're all considered like one family. So now that you have one family that's Jewish.
That's the whole idea of Erev Chatzeres, same thing.
To make them one family. Right. But now he wants to know if you have tons of non-Jews living in this hotel also, why doesn't it answer? Answer is because the Shulchan Aruch already told us the only time that non-Jews count is when I have two families.
Right.
When I have two families. But if I only have one family, even if it's 1,000 people, but we're all considered like one family, then
say,
that's good enough.
I go to the desk and I say, I want to rent the hallway.
Yeah.
He says to me, your room rate includes the whole. You pay money for the room, you have a right to use the hallway. You don't have to rent it.
Right.
So I have to tell him, no, I want to rent it. What?
Yeah. You have to explain it to him that you want to rent it specifically for...
I have a right to use the hallway.
Yeah. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You have to go ahead and get uncomfortable and say to him that for the purposes of Shabbos, I want to own this hallway, or I want to own the whatever you call it on a cruise ship.
So you have to go to the captain of the ship or the whoever's
right.
You go to the bellhop and say, here's the bunk. No. You can go home.
Go back to the hotel. What you have on these Pesach programs, people keep these rooms for the Sadar. They're all over the hotel.
Okay.
So then you're not in one room. Go back to the thing you're saying. Okay,
you're no, but you're all being provided with food from the same place. You're all there for the same reason. You're all there for the same reason. You all came to be a part of this program. So then we consider it as if you're one balabas. Right. Okay, so it's... Oh, then you have to make an Erev Chatzeres anyway.
I assume that the tour operator didn't make an Erev Chatzeres.
Right, right, correct. So let's just finish off quickly. I see we'll not get through... We won't get through all the details, but just a quick... A quick few words about mumrim, about if you live in a community, this was all talking about if you live in a community with non-Jews, but what about if you live in a community with non-religious Jews? Now, it gets a little more complicated this way. If you look in Erevin, Daf Samach Tesamid Beis, which is number Zion, so in Erevin it says, HaMachal Shabbos B'Far Hesia Dino K'Nachri, someone who's Machal Shabbos B'Far Hesia is Dino like a non-Jew, totally, Ve'Eino Yachal Arev, he is not allowed to be included in our box of matzahs. Beni Yachal Abatel Rishuso, he's not allowed to get up and say, well, I give my Rishus to the Jews. No. V'hadar Yimoyin Lo Takana, someone is stuck, unless, Ela Yidei Sheyizkar Mimena Rishuso Kedin Nachri. I have to actually go ahead and rent his property, just like I have to rent the property of the non-Jew. That's what the Gemara says. Now, what is considered a Mechal Shabbos B'far Hesia? How do we figure out what this is? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch Yerodea, Simen Beis, which is Hilchos Shechita, what's it doing in Hilchos Shechita? Because a non-Jew who shechts is a very questionable thing. So we have to figure out who's Jewish and who's not Jewish. So there's a machlokes over there, the Berhetiv and the Pischei Tshuva, quote, a machlokes achronim, what is considered a machal Shabbos b'far hesia? What do I have to actually violate in order to be considered a machal Shabbos? Some achronim say, I have to violate an Isra d'Araisa, which is Yeshel Avchiv Misas Bezdin. That's the only time I'm going to be considered a machal Shabbos b'far hesia. Other achronim say, no, if you're machal Shabbos, even with any other Isra d'Araisa, even if it's not Chayvim Misas Bezdin, also, you're considered a Mechal Shabbos. And then, the most machmir opinion is, even if I'm a Mechal Shabbos on an Issa D'Rabbanon, that's also a Mechal Shabbos for Hesi, which is the way we paskin in Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim, Shin Pei Hei, we assume, Afilu al Issa D'Rabbanon. Even if this person is only Mechal Shabbos on an Issa D'Rabbanon, he's considered a Mechal Shabbos, and he's Dino K'Nachri. Now, how many times must a person violate Shabbos in order to be considered a Nakum? Is it a one-time thing? Is it a few times? So the Berhetiv over there in Yerodea writes that he have to be Mechal a bunch of times consecutively. You have to go one week after the next and show us that you're really not interested in keeping Shabbos. But the Shach says, no, even if you're Mechal Shabbos one time, you get up in public and you show, I'm not interested in Shabbos, even if it's only in Issa D'Rabbanan, even if it's only once, that's already makes you the honorary status of a Akum. So no Hasra. However, this is a Machlokes in the Poskim, a further Machlokes, what is called Farhesia? What do we consider to be a Farhesia? So the Berhetiv says Farhesia means in front of 10 people, in front of a minion. That shows that you're really a Mechal Shabbos of Farhesia, you're really trying to get the Jewish religion and show that you're not a part of it. So then we would assume that 10 people is considered Farhesia. So now there's a further discussion. The Binyan Sion says, does the 10 people have to be standing together? Or if a guy's driving his car and one person sees him on this block, then the next one on the next block, altogether you have 10 people watching the guy be Mechal Shabbos, does that count? Binyan Sion says, no, it's only if I'm making a statement. If I stand up in front of 10 people and I say, look, I'm driving my car and being Mechal Shabbos in front of all of you. So that's the only way we would consider it to be a Mechal Shabbos. So one second. So the Shach in Yerodea and Kufnun Zayin writes, the Halacha, that no, it's even if it's not in front of 10 people, but if we all know that you're a Mechal Shabbos, that is already going to be good enough to make you a Mechal Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah writes over here, there is a lot of room to be Mechal nowadays. Why? Says the Mishnah Berurah, because no one nowadays is really breaking the discipline by driving a car on Shabbos. You're not going to say, we have a discipline that one is not allowed to drive a car on Shabbos. What do you mean? We're the minority. We're not the ones being koveya the rules. Even in Eretz Yisrael, where Orthodox Judaism is very prevalent, you still don't assume that it's breaking the discipline to drive on Shabbos. There is no discipline. It's not true. Unless you live in Meisharim and someone's coming driving through with a car, that's what to talk about. So then the Chazon Ish talks about Tinuk Shenishba. Maybe you should say nowadays some Israeli Jews who don't know any better, who really didn't learn about Shabbos, which is hard for me to imagine that most of them don't know. If you're living in Meisharim, you know about Shabbos. You know you're not allowed to drive.
You're learning in the mid-30s.
is that to be held against you, the fact that you don't right away...
Right. So it's hard to imagine that nowadays, many Achorim say that it's hard to imagine nowadays that a Mechal Shabbos Befar Hesia is considered a real Mechal Shabbos Dino Ka'akum, because it's not really breaking the discipline. We don't really have such a discipline that is considered to be broken. So the question is, however you're going to figure out who's a Mechal Shabbos Befar Hesia, who's not, bottom line is whether the concept, if the concept exists, how far do we take this rule? Do we say Mechal Shabbos Befar Hesia Dino Ka'akum even Lahakel? Can I sell him my chametz?
No.
No. Why not? Because bottom line, he's a Jew. Bottom line, he's Jewish. Okay, so now what? If I see him doing an Avera, do I have a mitzvah tochacha? Do I have a mitzvah? He won't accept it. So you're saying, let's say the guy's a nice guy, he will accept it. He just doesn't know what's wrong. He's saying he's not a mumer. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So let's say, take another example. The Poskim talk about this. Is there a Nisr of Chametz Shavar Lava Pesach with a non-religious Jew?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Right. So of course, right? You're going to say, why not? What do you mean? He's Jewish. What do you mean? But the Gemara says Dino Kanachri. Oh, so you're going to say, so you have to say that what? Dino Ka'akum just means we put on him the chumras of non-Jews, but it doesn't mean that we're mekel. So this is not so simple. Many Achorenim say, the Shelas David writes like this, or David O'Karliner, he says, Chametz Shavar Lava Pesach of a non-Jew, I'm sorry, Chametz Shavar Lava Pesach of a non-religious Jew, mutter after Pesach. No issur at all. And he has a whole bunch of cases where he's mekel like this. Some Achorenim say it. Obviously it's not the way we paskin.
So Wolbaum was never profitable by...
So we generally are not makel with this alone. We're not makel with the Shailas David alone. I remember a couple of years ago, though, you had a big Shiloh about a company, a whiskey company, whole thing that they didn't realize who the owner was, whatever it was. They were makel based on 6-7 Seiru from the Hakel, but this was one of the kulas that they used. That bottom line, there are many Achorenim Paiskim who say that even though he's not religious and Dino Ka'akum, we assume that Dino Ka'akum even Lahakel. So that's a serious question. Rabbi Akiva Eiger writes over here in Hilchos Erev Chatzeres that Nachri Dino Ka'akum is Bein Lahakel, Bein Lahachmir. You have to take it, I'm sorry. Rabbi Akiva Eiger writes it's only Lahachmir. But we can't take this rule, the other extreme, and say Lahakel. This might come up, for example, in a hotel, if let's say I need to have two Jewish families in order to be considered in order to need an Erev Chatzeres in a hotel, let's say, right? So if the second guy is a mummer. So Lahachmir, I would say, if the second guy is a mummer, then I have to be careful and I have to make an Erev.
You have to take like a census, you have to find out how it was in a hotel, maybe he's Jewish, maybe he's religious.
Very difficult.
Yeah, it's not so simple. It's not so simple. I mean, unless you go with another Jewish family, so...
Then you know. But if you're by yourself,
so if you're by yourself, so here, you have two options. Either you can make an Erev Chatzeres by bringing your own box of matzahs and saying, I want to be mezaka this to everybody else who might be in the hotel. Any other Jew. What? I can keep it in my room.
But there's no one else, that, someone has to make a kinyan.
I can do it with my wife.
If you're there with your wife.
Huh. Yeah. I mean, Shulchan Aruch, it says the chatchila you shouldn't make with your wife. I buy it myself, and I'm a zakeh to everybody else. That was the first year we had, was about Zachon Adam Shlobafanam and how you can give it to everybody else. So basically, the bottom line is, a person always has to be very careful about this, and either stay home, or if you go away, you have to think about exactly how it's going to be done in the proper way. But making an Erev Chatzeres is not all that hard. It's not so difficult, and I hope we made the halachas a little bit more clear through the past couple of shiur.
But it's not hard, except that you're making the bracha, so you don't need to have it, because there is no other Jew.
So don't make a bracha. Make a misafik without a bracha. Yeah. Anyway, okay, so let's just say a quick word on the parsha here, and then with this we will close up. The question is, why is it that it says Vayishma Yisrael Kohen Midyan? So why is it important for us to know that he's Kohen Midyan? So most of the Mefarshim explain that one should realize that Kohen Midyan, it's such a shvach to Yisrael, even though he was a prestigious person in that society, still we assume that this Kohen Midyan came along and became a ger. You see what a chash of a person he was. However, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says a different pshat. Zok the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in the second paragraph. Based on the Gemara in Yuvam Estav Chav Dalet, the Gemara says over there, Eim Ekam Ger and Limos HaMashiach. You're going to have a Ger who's going to come along. I think they say after the war in 1967, there was such Jewish pride, a lot of people were being Megayer. So exactly, the Gemara says, Befurish, you're not allowed to do that. Why? Because maybe he's only coming along for the good times. He doesn't realize that there's ups and there's downs in the Jewish religion. So therefore, we assume that Eim Ekam Ger and Limos HaMashiach. If you want to become a Ger, got to come along before. Then, says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Kishaba Ger L'Eskayim Mosam Mashiach Vazvan Shei Yisrael B'tuchim Alad Mosam V'akol Holech Tov L'Yisrael. Everything's wonderful. So you're not really in it for the sake of being in it. You're in it because you want to be a part of good things. So therefore, may Ato look at the next paragraph. Im Ken Kasha Eich Kiblu Es Yisrael Yos Ger. How were they able to be Mekabel Yisrael as a Ger? What do you mean? He just saw the experience of Kriyas Yamsuf. The whole world, Shama Amir Gozen, the whole world was shaking. So how were they able to be Mekabel this Ger? So says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, a brilliant answer.
Was Lifnei Matan Torah?
Yeah.
So who is Jewish Lifnei Matan
Torah? Okay, that's a separate discussion. But let's assume...
Let's say this is after.
Right, the Machlokes already showed him exactly when everything happened, but whatever. So how is Yisrael able to be Megayer? Either Gemara says you're not allowed to accept the Ger at a time when it's a high time for Klal Yisrael. So the answer is, this is a brilliant answer, he says, Diyisa Betosi Vamas Chavdala Shehiksha Shamatosi Dalbas Paro. How were they allowed to be Megai or Bas Paro in the days of Shlomo HaMelech? Tosis answers, Tirtzibu Tosis. So Kol HaChashashu, the only time we're concerned about being Mekabel Ager is when he is poor Nebuchadnezzar, Lo Yitzlach the Ager, and now he's coming over to get involved. But the Bas Paro, who is living in a palace, she has everything. Everything is wonderful for her. So by her, we have no concern for her to be Megai. Nu by Yisro. By Yisro, he's a Kohen Minyan. He has everything going for him. So the same thing. Zak the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. That's why it has to say Kohen Midian, because without that fact that he was the Kohen Midian, he would have had no right to become a Ger at all. We would not have accepted him. We would think that he has ulterior motives. But now that we know he's a Kohen Midian, he had everything going for him in his life, that is what allowed us to actually accept him as a Ger. Wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos. What? Yeah?